patrick@oneradionetwork.com if you want to be on the show. Dr. Daniels, you mentioned coffee grounds as a good exfoliant and a wash agent. Are these grounds before or after brewing the coffee? I tried freshly ground before being brewed and seems too gritty and harsh.
It's after.
After. How be done?
Right. Yeah.
What does it do to the skin?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Really?
It pulls off all the dead skin. It leaves it super, super smooth.
Huh.
And coffee also has oils in it. And so it deposits the oils from the coffee into your skin. And it just leaves the skin satiny smooth and with a nice sheen once you rinse it off. So I'll use rice bran, for example, which leaves the skin a little dry, and then I have to put oil on after. But when I do coffee, I don't have to put oil on afterwards.
So you're just doing some coffee, whether or not you drink it or not, who cares, and then get the coffee grounds, and then what do you do with those coffee grounds?
You take them and you start rubbing them over your skin.
Oh, just when they're still kind of wet after the coffee, or does it matter?
Yeah, they have to be wet.
Okay.
Wet is better.
Mm-hmm. I'll be done. It's pretty cool.
Now, it will, you guys live in a first world country.
Yeah, we do.
So it will clog your delicate plumbing.
Oh, it does? What, coffee grounds? Yeah, that's right, because you never throw those in there, yeah. So be careful.
I'm just telling you that, because I used to do it in my house, and it clogged my drain. So then I went to the athletic club or the gym, and I used their shower and clogged their drain. So
don't do that.
It will clog your drain unless you do, you can do it outside. Maybe wear some skimpy bikini or something.
Mm-hmm.
But do it outside. But it is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And then if your skin, if you're not, well, actually, even if you're white, it'll give you a nice little tan. If you're black, it'll really deepen your skin color, smooth it out, and make you glow. It's amazing.
Do you have to leave the grounds on there for a while, or how does that work?
No. Just rub. I just scrub head to toe, scrub, rub, and then just rinse it off.
I'll be done. That's pretty cool. Barbara wants to know, she's in Chicago. Can you talk a little bit about the four cookbooks that you offer for sale? What's special about them for an untalented cook? How easy is it to follow the recipes? Any way to peek into a list of things that I might cook? Love the show.
So the neat thing about the cookbooks is they're made for bad cooks. So these are what I call good recipes, which makes any bad cook look good. And so if you leave out an ingredient, it's still going to taste good. If you put in too much of something, it's still going to taste good. So that's the nice thing about the cookbook. So you don't have to be a chef. There are measurements in there. I do recommend owning a set of teaspoons. However, if you mess it up, put a little too much, too little, it still works. So that's key. The next thing about the cookbook is the cookbook relies on spices to heal you. So each recipe is literally designed to get certain spices into you. For example, there's one recipe called Red Lentil Dal. It has spices in it that actually heal your heart and relieve arthritis.
Hmm.
So literally, you can cook this dish, eat it, and watch your pains go away, watch your stomach calm down and relax, and watch your blood pressure normalize. So that's the way the cookbooks are designed. So cookbook one is kind of a beginner. I even tell you how to make a salad, how to make your own salad dressing, and then there's some other main dish recipes. Cookbook two kind of continues with that and adds some raw recipes, but also adds some intermediate recipes. For example, a lot of people have difficulty giving up dairy, and there's a creamed cauliflower recipe where you puree sunflower seeds to make a wonderful cream sauce for cauliflower. Obviously, you can use that for broccoli with cream of broccoli soup or any kind of cream that you want to, anything you want to use cream with. So the nice thing about the book is it has recipes that you can change up by changing the vegetable or the particular ingredient, the main ingredient that you like. I had a chili recipe, Puerto Rican black bean chili, for example. Well, one person made the recipe and forgot to put the beans in. Right, how could you do that? But it happened. And she was very excited. She contacted me to tell me that she forgot to put the beans in and it still tasted good. So the recipes are very, very flexible, and it's an excellent way for a unsophisticated cook to start cooking healthy without the the learning curve. It wipes out that learning curve.
So are you then taking into consideration all kinds of things, vegetables, meat, beans, grains, everything?
No meat. There's no meat. No meat in the book.
No meat in the book. Meat. But there are grains, right, so grains and beans?
Yeah. All books are, they're all aimed at healing you, cleaning you out, kind of getting rid of disease. Mm-hmm. I have to write another book, which is a Rebuild Your Body book, which has meats in it. It talks about rebuilding your body. But this is really for cleaning your body out and getting rid of toxins and parasites. Mm-hmm. That's what these books are about.
Do you think there's any considerations with eating beans and phytoestrogens?
No.
Yeah, because I like beans, but every now and then I hear somebody, oh, you're going to eat these beans because they're too many phytoestrogens, but I sure do good with them. I don't know.
So when you are buying a processed bean product, like bean powders bean proteins, yes, because it's processed and there's super concentrated phytoestrogens and there's all this nightmare stuff. But again, what people need to realize is there's an issue with processed food. Even if it says organic, it's processed and it's going to get you in trouble. Now, you're a guy, so what you're really interested in is testosterone.
Tea.
So you have this phobia of phytoestrogens, like, whoa, 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 I don't want to turn into a girl. I'm a guy, and I'm happy with it. And, you know, I get that.
Yeah, you get that.
So what you need to do is you need to increase your cholesterol. The more cholesterol in your system, the more testosterone your body's going to make because, well, you're a guy. And when that happens, you eat all the phytoestrogen you want because you have got a testosterone-making machine.
So back to the ham hocks and liver.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Ham hocks and liver. Okay, let's take this call for you. Good morning on the telephone. Who is this? Hello? Earth to caller. Well, that was pretty exciting. Boy, I'll tell you what. So are there high cholesterol foods? What are some other...
High cholesterol, you said fruits?
Foods.
All right, so the big thing to understand is where is the cholesterol not?
Yeah.
This is important. There is no cholesterol in any plant, period.
Period.
There is no cholesterol in plants. Can I repeat that? There is no cholesterol in plants. So everyone talking about phytoestrogens, blah, 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 blah. That is phytoestrogen. It's not estrogen. In other words, it is an estrogen for the plant, but for you, it doesn't have that cholesterol ring. So there are no plant sources of cholesterol. So this means that if you want to get your cholesterol to 250, you're going to have to eat some meat. That's it. And now how much meat, how often, that varies from person to person. There are a lot of people over 90 who have stopped eating meat. They tanked up on their cholesterol years ago. That's okay.
Tanked up.
Yeah. Or there are people who are over 90, even 100, and they're eating meat maybe once a year, twice a year. Fine. They're keeping their cholesterol up. I just have to tell you this thing. I read this thing on YouTube. So I'm watching these videos on YouTube about longevity, people over 100. And so this vegan guy is interviewing, raw vegan guy, interviewing this guy who's 100 years old.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. This guy's 100. He says, well, we just got you on the raw vegan diet. The guy said, yeah, you know, I'm really excited. I'm 100, and I'm even feeling better energetic on this raw vegan diet. I said, oh, yeah. I said, well, that's really nice. And then, of course, you get the follow-up, and the guy dropped dead 6 months later.
Really?
Right. Literally. So there you have it. So a lot of people, like Dionne Warwick and these movie stars, whatever, are vegan. Like, you know, I'm vegan, I'm gorgeous, and I'm elderly, da-da-da-da. That's fine. It's fine. But they had a high meat youth. For example, when I was younger, we had meat at least 3 times a day. It wasn't a meal unless you had meat. And so by the time I was 28, I had enough. And so I stopped eating meat at 28. I didn't get depleted and wiped out until I was, you know, 56.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to say is how well you do on a vegetarian and vegan diet is inversely proportional to how much meat you had before you went on the diet.
Good morning. I have a friend who's had a stroke and heart attacks in her family. To be safe, she's on a low-dose cholesterol pill to keep her cholesterol below 200. I tried to let her know that a low cholesterol level is pretty dangerous, but she says it runs in her family. She wants to keep it down to make sure she didn't have a heart attack. So I think we've already covered that. We've covered that pretty well.
No. You're missing something here. Mm-hmm. We have a person who's taking medicines for diseases she's worried about.
Yes.
Not a disease that she has.
Correct.
She is the marketing solution that was covered at Wharton Business School in the year 1982. The marketing guy walked into our healthcare marketing class and said, people are not taking enough drugs. And we said, huh? And he said, how are we going to get people to take more drugs? How do we get healthy people to take drugs?
Let's kick it up here a little bit.
We young kids were like, well, do-do-do. He says, we have got to get people to take drugs for diseases they are worried about, not diseases that they have. So literally, whether she should be taking a cholesterol drug is actually irrelevant. This lady's going to take drugs for disease she's worried about? Oh, let me get you worried about diabetes. You take a drug because you're worried about diabetes. Let me get you worried about hypertension. Take a drug because you're worried about hypertension. Let me get you worried about arthritis. Take a drug because you're worried about arthritis. Literally, you can have a person like her taking 100 drugs, one drug for each disease that she's worried about. This is the marketing solution, and that's what's going on in the United States. People are literally taking drugs for conditions they are worried about, not conditions that they have.
But my doctor said so, you know, doc, so it's...
You know, whatever. A lot of people are into bondage, right? He owns me. Well, your doctor, does he own you? Are you his whatever? You know, how far does this go? Do you see him after hours too? You know, let's talk about it.
A lot of people are into bondage. That's funny. Okay. Let's do this quick little break. I'm going to run down and look at my...
Yeah, check that molasses.
I'm going to check it out. Okay, so I'll be right back. Hold on. Here's a short clip with Wayne Blakely, the Living Streams guy. Listen to this.
Everything you eat converts to a fake, F-A-K-E, fake calcium molecule. That's what causes plaque.
Oh, so that's what causes the calcium down up in
that's
your
why,
arteries.
That's why we have plaque all over our body. That's exactly why.
So if we don't have the proper probes in our small intestines and large,
right,
it produces a fake, which is a form of calcium that goes in the wrong spot.
And we can't absorb it. It's unabsorbable.
Right, but that's how it ends up in the arteries.
Exactly. Body pulls that up as an amino acid, but it's a calcium. It's fake. In other words, everything you eat converts to a fake calcium molecule. When I finished this research, I was dead serious about it. I'm dead serious about this. I could not understand why Americans were alive.
Oh, you mean after seeing the way this works? And
right, how it works. Why a male at 25 years old has enough plaque in their body to have a heart attack.
Wow. And as you know, a lot of the calcium ends up in the brain as well. So these probes are very important, according to research. And Wayne's done a lot of it. Is this one of the major keys to calcification? It appears so. We'll see. Living Probiotics. Many to choose from in our store on OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously with Dr. Rulin Chu about her product called Pearlseum. So let's talk about the teeth first. Explain to me what's going on, because there's something magical when you dip your little toothbrush in water. Why do they look so sparkly and just, I don't know, something very energetically about the look of them?
Yeah, it's very, very magical. So like a group of scientists in France discovered that when you put the pearl next to the bones or skins or other connective tissues, and they find it stimulates new growth of the bones and skins and connective tissues, and also to make existing bones and the skins more healthy and stronger. So brush your teeth with the pearl, then your teeth will make your existing teeth stronger, and also it will filling up, you know, teeth with the pearlseum, and the pearl powder will stimulate the new bone growth and also make the existing teeth very strong.
It's really a great product. You'll love it. Take it internally or on your teeth, and you can click an order, see the ad right there, Pearlseum, the nice green container, Pearlseum, on OneRadioNetwork.com. Yes, you can, very much so. It is September 25, 2018. We have some more time for some emails. If you want to come in, 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Dr. Jennifer Daniels. And so Dr. Daniels is saying that she's learned over time through trial and success that when you do a blackstrap molysis, which is good for a lot of things, if there's more than, what is it, Doc, 45 or 50? What's the number?
50
calories per tablespoon. That this is not what you want because the ratio is screwed up. Mine is one of the most popular ones you see at the hippie food store called Plantation. You probably have seen it. It's the one that almost every hippie food store carries. And it has, are you ready? 60 calories per tablespoon.
Correct.
I don't want this, right?
Yeah, feed that to your dog.
Do they even make it? I mean, I they must, right?
They don't make it organic, so
they don't.
All the health nuts are basically eating damaging molasses.
But
that's making them sicker.
If I look to the ingredient label, it says ingredients, organic blackstrap molasses. So there's nothing else added. What are they doing? They're just doing something to it to give it more sugar?
You have to understand what molasses is. Molasses is the juice of the cane plant
okay.
and it's boiled.
Right.
They draw off a certain amount of sugar. However minuscule amount of sugar they draw off, it's called molasses, what's left over. So the more sugar they draw off, the fewer calories that are left in the molasses, and the more nutritious the molasses is. So your molasses, which is 60 calories, they did not draw off as much sugar as was drawn off in a molasses that has 49 calories.
Hmm.
It's still molasses. It's still molasses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cool. Well, that's great. I'll go on Amazon, see if I can find one below 50, right? Below 50. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
There's one that's as low as 42.
Oh, so the lower the better.
Correct.
Do you know the brand name of that one?
Plantation brand.
Oh, that's this one is Plantation brand.
You have the yellow label?
Yeah, the yellow. It says organic, Plantation, black.
Oh, no. Yeah, the organic has the higher calories.
Ah, okay. Just get the non-organic.
Yeah, I've never found an organic brand. That has less than 50 calories. They just don't do it.
Very interesting. Okay. I'll just get the old... Oh, they probably even have that at the health food store, I guess, the non-organic model. Cool. Well, you're always learning something around here, aren't you? Let's see. Let's go back here to the pile. Getting through them. What's the reason that a paraplegic diabetic has constant feelings of having to urinate? The docs keep giving them antibiotics.
Well, of course, the question is, why is a person even diabetic? So the reason is because the diabetes often will cause a yeast overgrowth in the body. A lot of times the kidneys are trying to help out, and so they just keep, pumping out liquid or fluid. So the treatment of choice, the immediate treatment, is to have this person stop being diabetic. That's number one. And the simplest way to do that is you can just go to my website, vitalitycapsules.com, download the free report, the Candida Cleaner, and if the diabetic follows that diet, they should be no longer diabetic in about 2 weeks. This is for type 2 diabetics. But that's what he's got to do. If he's not willing to do that, then he can just, he's going to be uncomfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is if he's a paraplegic, if he might have a catheter in place. And if that's the case, he needs to increase his drinking so that he pees more often, and that's going to help him feel better. And then make sure that he changes that urinary catheter more often.
Mm-hmm. Here's Lisa in New York for you, Doc. Does Dr. Daniels have any advice on what I can do for venous status and loads of broken capillaries in my legs? Venous status.
Venous stasis.
Things I have tried, turmeric, cayenne, enzymes, vitality capsules. However, the vitality capsules do give me diarrhea. Any advice would be appreciated.
All right, so diarrhea in the Vitality Capsules is good. So what you want to do, the question is, why do you have this venous stasis? What's going on? The reason you have the venous stasis is there's stuff in your diet filled with impurities that are clogging the valves in your veins. Mm. And those valves are not working. And that causes the blood to pool in your veins. And, of course, it looks unsightly. So the thing to do is to change your diet. You can try the Candida Cleaner Diet at vitalitycapsules.com. Just download it there. And then you need to walk. And just walk as much as you can to start and gradually build up to at least 30 minutes a day of walking. And once you figure out how to walk, then you want to walk hills. That means uphill and downhill. And what will happen is the calf muscles in your leg will literally squeeze your veins and pump out the impurities and clean them. And so, you know, continue your Vitality Capsules, because once the muscles pump the impurities out of your veins, they need some place to go. And so the Vitality Capsules give them some place to go, like the toilet.
Like the toilet. Like right. The toilet. This is an email for Dr. Daniels from, who's this? Frank Columbus. My doctor is recommending I take a baby aspirin every day. What does Dr. Daniels think about this?
So the latest research on a baby aspirin a day for somebody who is healthy is that it is actually harmful. So, you know, this is an excellent example of how in medicine things come in fashion, out of fashion, in fashion, out of fashion. So when I was in medical school back in 1979 to 83, aspirin was considered to be something dangerous, universally harmful, that never should be on the market. But it came out before the FDA was established, and therefore it slipped on the market undetected, and woe is us. That's why we need the FDA to protect us from dangerous things like aspirin. Okay, well, sounds good. But then, this is 83, then somehow by 1990, aspirin a day became something everybody should take. And this continued until, well, for a long time, 2018. And so now someone decided, well, let's take a look at that. Let's do some research. So, oops, this is some pretty harmful stuff. So don't worry about it. So if your doctor is telling you to take an aspirin a day as a preventative, then the research shows that, you have nothing to benefit. If the doctor is telling you to take an aspirin a day because you have a condition, let's call it maybe you had a heart attack in the past or a stroke or something like that, then the question is, could you be better served by doing something else, like increasing your water intake, increasing your bowel movements, and eating food that's not contaminated? In other words, eating food without pesticides and herbicides.
Ken wants to know if you've ever found a way how to turn gray hair to the natural color.
So I first started turning gray when I was 30.
That's because you're a doctor in New York. That'll make you gray.
By the time I was 33, I was salt and pepper gray. And I looked pretty young. I looked like 15, so I figured this gray hair would make me look more distinguished and doctorly.
Mm-hmm, right.
Well, then my patients started laughing at me and poking fun at me and giggling right to my face. Mm. And I said, that's it. I'm going to fix that. I'm getting rid of this gray. So the first thing I did was I took a supplement which had HCG precursors in it.
Okay.
And I'm trying to remember what the name of that. Giravita. It was Giravita.
HCG is, what is that?
Human chorionic growth hormone.
Yeah, right.
But it didn't have the HCG in it. It had the precursors to HCG.
I see.
And it has St. John's wort. So that turned my gray hairs black in a flash. It was amazing.
St. John's
wort? Every last hair. No, the whole pill.
Oh,
it happened to have St. John's wort in it, but it had a whole bunch of other stuff.
The HCG thing.
So that turned everything black, and that was okay for a few years. So that worked until about 37, 38. But then I had to stop taking the pill because the St. John's wort dose was too high, and I was getting euphoric. And I said, no, I've got responsibilities. I can't be, in la-la land here. So then I turned to He Shao Wu.
Mm-hmm.
So He Shao Wu plus seaweed held me over for the next several years. And it wasn't until I got to be 50, actually 51, that the gray showed up again. And this time I took small willow flower herb. It helped, but at 51, I just wasn't really that enthused about it. So, you know, I mean, like, you know, gray hair at 51, all right, I'll put up with it. Mm-hmm. Plus, I was married, and so that was difficult because my husband's diet was a diet that promoted gray hair. In other words, he was pretty much all white. Wasn't balding, but he was all white. His hair is all white on the top and sides. Little bit of pepper in the back, not much. So living with him and eating with him, I got more gray hairs. So now, you know, he died about a year and a half ago. So now I'm back to eating, you know, just the way I want to eat. And so my hair is growing back in black now.
Just because of the good fats and all the stuff you do?
Well, now I go back to eating seaweed. So I love seaweed.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I was a really big fan of seaweed. And I'm also taking blackstrap molasses. And I do take a little small little flower herb. I was taking the tincture, but that was just too much trouble putting a tincture in the water. I was like, forget that.
Yeah.
So now I just throw the herb into a pot full of tea that I'm making, and then I just drink that.
The small willow flower, yeah. Seaweed, yeah, seaweed's really good. Okay, let's see. Let's try this phone and see if it's working. Good morning. There's someone on the phone. Hello.
Hey, Patrick. It's George from Oceanside, California.
Hey, George, got kind of a buzzy phone, so kind of speak up and ask a question, please, because it's hard to hear you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I take vitamin C and lysine to strengthen the arteries. And I mentioned this because my brother-in-law just... he had a brain aneurysm, and man, he went fast. He was intracranial bleeding, and he was gone in like an hour.
Wow.
He declared him brain dead.
Just
amazing. Anyway, I wanted to know, you know, it happened to my father as well with the major aorta. He was gone fast too.
Mm-hmm.
What can you? I think it was Linus Pauling that put that out about the vitamin C and the lysine and proline. What do you, you know, strengthen those arteries and make sure they don't develop the aneurysm after 70, you know?
Okay. All right, let's let you listen off the air and because you've got a really bad line. Thanks for the call. Okay, strengthening arteries.
Right, so I used to take that, you know, vitamin C, lysine, proline approach, but I said, you know what? Let's just go whole hog. Let's just settle this thing. And so it turns out that what you're really lacking is you're lacking collagen and cartilage and support for these major arteries. And so that's where, you know, your pig ears and ham hocks come in. And you're not going to get aneurysms eating that stuff.
So you think it's the collagen and not...
For sure.
Yeah.
Take a blood vessel. It's nothing but collagen.
Oh.
And so what they're saying is, well, in the average diet... the deficiency of vitamin C, the deficiency of proline, deficiency of lysine is so profound that taking these things will help. Well, that might have been the case in Linus Pauling's days, but now we've got boneless, skinless meat. They peel off that collagen, baby, before it even gets to your plate. You got no choice.
That's right.
So even the meat eaters are getting zero collagen.
Hmm.
And so this issue with weak blood vessels and weak bones, because the collagen gives the elasticity to your bones, keeping them from breaking. It allows them to bend instead. The deficiencies, I think, are way too numerous and profound to be addressed by lysine and proline. And that what you really need to do is, you know, have some pig ears.
Pig ears. Do you think the collagen in the can, the Great Lakes, does the job as well? Or
No. I don't think so, because there's the blood vessels, especially the larger ones, are more complex than that. And the Great Lakes gelatin is made by pretty much boiling the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not getting that cartilage piece, parts you're not getting. Also, the gelatin, Great Lakes, or any gelatin for that matter, they boil and take the liquid, leaving the solid stuff behind. But there's nutrients in that solid stuff that repairs and maintains your arteries that you're not getting.
Yeah, we always do better when we go right to the source, huh? The piggy ears, whatever, the hocks, the liver.
Yeah. Now, so Dr. Daniels, why don't you recommend beef parts? Because the beef parts that would help you are not sold to the public in the United States. So you can't buy beef skin. It's known as leather. You're wearing it as your belt. You're wearing it in your shoes. You're wearing your food. And so because the cultural practice in the United States is that we wear our beef collagen, and it's not available to sale to the public because you can make a $4,000 purse with a square foot of a beef hide. So why would you sell that to a private citizen for even $20 a pound, right? Mm-hmm. So the beef parts that would cure you are not for sale to you.
This is a good question. Lynn says, what could possibly be the deal 65-year-old man who still has his natural hair color, but he's had a white beard for decades? I've seen that too. That's curious.
Yeah, well, you know, the body puts has deficiencies, and it decides where it's going to express them. Yeah.
A couple more here. Do I have some more? Yeah. Just started my hay fever thing. I don't know. Every year it just kind of comes on. Does Dr. Daniels have a theory on what could be the root cause so I could get to the bottom of this rather than taking stuff? Thanks for the show. Oh, good question.
Yeah, the root cause of your hay fever is your liver. Your liver is clogged up and not able to process additional antigens or proteins. So the answer is to take some milk thistle, increase your water intake, clean up your food so you're not eating other chemicals that will occupy your liver, and maybe even do a couple of liver flushes. But what I found in my medical practice was that people could just clean up their diet, drink more water, take milk thistle, and their hay fever allergies would just clear up and go away. Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love the results of Dr. Daniel's castor oil and turpentine flush. What brand of castor oil do either of you prefer? From Jack.
So I just get, I'm living in a third world country, so I get what I can. So I go down to the chemical shop and buy my castor oil by the gallon. And I hope that it has no hexane in it.
Sure. Yeah. What's the difference when we're doing, say, castor oil and the turpentine and then olive oil and the turpentine? It's a whole different mechanism. What's going on?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. So the castor oil, if you did castor oil, is not going to escort the turpentine into the liver. In fact, it's going to bypass it and just right through the body.
And what's
it doing? So every oil behaves differently.
Yeah. And so when you're doing castor oil and turpentine, what's going on? What are we doing that for?
So when you do castor oil and turpentine, you're flushing the whole intestinal tract from your throat all the way down to the end of your colon. Mm-hmm. Also, it stimulates the release of toxins from every tissue that it touches. And so it's a huge, huge dump of toxins, but it does not specifically target the liver. Mm-hmm. So for the liver flush, you need the olive oil.
Janice in Seattle, hopefully she's not sleepless. Does Dr. Jennifer Daniels have any opinion or experience with food grade diatomaceous earth for colon cleansing? Food grade diatomaceous earth.
They use that word food grade so they can charge more. So diatomaceous earth is basically these diatoms, which are shells. They're from the ocean. And so there's these shells. They have jagged edges. And what they do is they get rid of parasites and they slice the parasites open. And so I'm totally against slicing parasites open. Like just because the parasites have sucked up all the toxins and poisons from you. And so I'm into expelling them whole. So I do not use diatomaceous earth. I generally don't use it.
And you said the turpentine actually stuns the parasites, kind of bonks them on the head, and the immune system gets them out. Is that correct?
The ones in the intestines the brunt of the turpentine. The other parasites that are located remotely, like outside the intestines, like, whoa, wait a minute, we got troubles over here. We got to get out of this body. We got to get up and move. And so literally the parasites move to the liver through the intestines to get flushed out because they're afraid that things are going to get worse. They don't want that. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be around that tripper.
Well, we burned through them all. Final one, Monica. Can you please give us your thoughts on migraine headaches? I have not had in years, and on recent visits to Germany, I really had a tough one. Could it be some of the different food that I ate over there?
Right. So migraines are totally toxic exposure in your food. And generally, dairy and cheese set it off. So the thing to do would be increase your water intake and do an enema. And usually that solves it the best.
Mm-hmm. Just one just popped in. Amara wants to know, hi there, Dr. Daniels. How do you do your liver flushes? Can you tell me the process? I think we went through that, right?
Yep, we did.
We went through that. So, Amara, please listen to the show. We'll have it up in an hour or so. Not sure, somewhere, I don't know where it was, second hour, you know, first, whatever. Just listen, yeah. And then we go through the whole thing. It's olive oil. Now, do you have that in print, too? People want to read along?
That is in print somewhere, so I can see what we're going to do. If we'll put it on the website as a freebie when you log in or...
Okay, why don't you check that out as I'm going through, see if we have one more here. Oh, I got one more. They always come in at the last moment. So, to Amara and others, if you just tuned in, we went through the whole thing about, and it's olive oil and turpentine and then some lemon and also Epsom salts at particular times before and after. But she says you can do it in a one-day deal, and we kind of go through it on the show, and she's looking to see if there's something in print. Be nice to have. I'd like to have it myself in print, but if not, we'll just have to go and listen back. Did you find something?
Okay.
Did you find something in print?
No.
Okay.
I have to get something. So I'll let you know what I figure out.
Yeah, let me know. One more. 2 minutes ago. Just tested positive for Sjogren's syndrome. S.J. Sjogren's. How do I find the root cause? From Carolyn in Texas City, Texas. Sjogren's syndrome.
It's Sjogren's.
Okay, Sjogren's.
Sjogren's syndrome, yeah. And it's considered to be an autoimmune disease. It's characterized mostly by dry eyes. There are many other manifestations, such as arthritis and stuff. But basically, it's another variation of the syphilis induced by vaccines.
No. So is it an autoimmune issue, or they just call it that?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
Well, they just call it that, but that's the code word for syphilis.
Oh, the code word. So it's not actually an autoimmune thing.
Correct. No, it's not. There's okay. No such thing as autoimmune disease. No, the body does not attack itself.
Okay. All right, my friend, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it. Have a nice day. Beautiful day here, too. And we'll see you next month, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Dr. Jennifer Daniels, it is vitalitycapsules.com. And you can get her cookbooks on there and also the Candida Cleaner Report. That's the one to get. If you're going to mess around with turpentine, you want to get that one, because it gives you the whole scoop. Read it twice, read it three times. Just really know what you're doing. It's a very powerful substance. It is safe. It's pure pine gum, you know, pure gum spirits of turpentine, but you don't want to be messing around with something that it's a solvent, and we don't recommend it. I don't give advice and tell you to take it. A lot of people do. They have for centuries, but you want to know what you're doing, and we have plenty of shows on it, especially the main one we did with Dr. Jennifer Daniels, I think a couple years ago. You'll find it on OneRadioNetwork.com. So I appreciate you being here. I love you all very much, and I'm at your service. If I can help in any way, feel free to email me. I get lots of questions on the Living Streams, and let me give you a number here, and you can call someone to talk. And then also, if you want to have more information from Wayne, Marilyn can oftentimes give you Wayne's number. We just don't give it out willy-nilly, because he would spend his entire life on the phone, and he already does. These are great products. Not tricky to use, but there's a lot of them, so you want to kind of make sure you kind of know what your options are. But if I were just starting, and people ask me all the time, I would do the Living Streams Multi-Blend, Living Streams Minerals, Living Minerals, and the Bifido. Remember, you can put them all in your ear that go directly to the small intestines, which is pretty cool. And bypass. And then if you want to call Marilyn, grab a pen here, Marilyn. Our number is 360-912-2981, 360-912-2981. Tell her we sent you and ask some questions. And if you decide to get some, please come back to our website if you would, and then order through our website. If you order on the phone, it makes it, they just can't give us a commission. They're not set up. So we'd like to get a little commission on the deal. That's how we do make a living, on the products that we promote. But know that all the products that we promote, we know the source. That's our trademark. We know the people in every case. We know who they are. We know what they're about. We know what their motives are. We know their ethics. And we do. We just do. And we've used all of them and still do to this day, many of them. So know the source. It's important. And see you tomorrow. May the blessings be.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.